Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
He leads the way. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Colin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
And LJ, it is Test Match Week, and very excitingly joining us on the show today is Sophie Molyneux, who has got a late call up to the Australian Test squad, which is very exciting. We all know it's been a bit of a tough road for Soph. She had that stress fracture in her foot and then did her ACL, but she's back playing with the Vics and now she's back with the Aussies, which is very exciting, but presents a little bit of a conundrum for the selectors with four spinners now in this Test squad.
Yeah, five even.
Oh, Ash. She's a spinner. Five.
Ash is obviously the one of those that is absolutely in any 11. So
yes, exactly.
It's the other four that kind of have to be chosen between.
Yeah. And
yeah, two leggies, two left armers. You've got to think Alana King is right in there, Should be in the 11 too, having played the last couple of tests for Australia, and she looks like she's the preferred leggy, but Can Molyneux squeeze Jess Johnson out of that team, or Who do they go with there?
It's going to be tough. We haven't seen Jess Johnson feature in any 11 this series, so, yeah, it's going to be hard to know what they're looking for, and, yeah, if Sophie Molyneux can squeeze her way in. I mean, she's an extremely solid option with the bat as well, as is Jess Johnson, though, so it's tough.
Yeah, and I think people keep sounding a bit surprised when they say, oh, three spinners and 11 at the Wacker. Mm. But I think you need to remember that with this Australian team, they will also have at least five pace options.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they play three spinners. So it's not like they're going spin heavy for any particular reason.
No.
It's more that they've just got three pace bowling all-rounders in that team.
Handy.
And that probably means, I don't think we'll see Megan Shute. I think they'd probably go with one of the left-arm orthodox spinners just for what they add with the batting.
Yeah.
As much as anything, particularly when they don't know what the pitch is going to do here, and if it does prove tricky for batting, you probably want to get that Jess or Sophie in there as a batting option as much as anything.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky couple of days for the selectors leading in. So we had one training session today, Tuesday. We'll have one more, probably a lighter session tomorrow, Wednesday, before day one on Thursday. And LJ, I think we both can admit that we're not experts on reading and analysing pitches.
Definitely not.
But our colleague Jack is, and we assume Beth Mooney also is. So what did Beth Mooney have to say about the pitch and what it was looking like in her press conference?
Yeah, she was saying that they don't know too much about what to expect out of it. I don't think it's been used yet this season, based on what Kingy was saying to us on last week's podcast. But the other decks they've been using on the wicket block here at the Wacker have played a bit differently to what you might traditionally expect from the Wacker. They've been a bit more there for the spinners, a bit harder to bat on. So if that's true of this test wicket too, that could pretty interesting. Our colleague Jack thought it looked a bit dry today, which is not surprising because it's been
hot.
40 degrees every day here, and it will continue to be so all week. They suggested they're probably going to pump a fair bit of water into the wicket over the next couple of days to stop it breaking up too much.
Okay.
So that could make it a bit spicy and interesting on day one as well. So
yeah,
it'll be very interesting to find out how it goes on day one and even how it looks tomorrow on test eve. And Elisa Healy might have some
thoughts too. Yeah, cool. And so this is going to be the first ever test match between Australia and South Africa, which is very exciting, but no doubt a tough assignment for South Africa. But, you know, they've shown plenty of fight throughout this series. They've managed to win a T20 and an ODI against Australia, and they've been really competitive with some outstanding performances across the board. But with, I think, six debutants in their squad, they're probably going to be up against it.
Yeah, it is such a tough ask. They haven't had a warm-up match. Yep. They had a bit of a Red Bull camp before they came away, but such a tough ask. You know, Australia don't play tests very often, but even when they went to India, they got a one-day practice match. Yeah. There's none of that for South Africa. It's just two training sessions and that's that. Looks like they had a nice day off yesterday, got out in the water in Perth. So they'll be nice and relaxed. And, yeah, some exciting debutants who could come in. You think Tasman Brits will likely come in and stay at the top of the order and make a test debut as opener. Then there's a couple of young quicks that came into the side for that second ODI in Sydney that they won, who either of them could probably make their debut and look very exciting. Even Masabada Klaas missed the last test they played.
Okay.
So she's got to make her debut, surely. Yeah,
she's been exceptional. Elisa Healy has won six tosses.
Out of six, yes.
Out of six.
And Laura Wolfart also lost a toss at the Governor General's game.
So she's lost seven tosses in a row over here in Australia. Yeah. Can she win the most important toss?
There's a less than 1% chance of that having happened.
That is crazy.
It's ridiculous. And this toss could be pretty important.
Yes.
Not only for, like, I think most people tend to like to bat first in tests, but also for the fact it's going to be 42 degrees on Thursday and then potentially just 29 on Friday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Realistically, whoever wins that toss is going to want to bat.
They're going to want to bat.
So pretty big one. So is Laura due or does Midge keep up her winning streak?
I mean, surely she's due. I feel like it would be quite fitting if Midge was to win six in a row white ball and then Laura just comes in and wins the most important one.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll see.
Laura will finally find form with the bat too. It's been, I think she scored about seven runs in the ODI series, which
It's been a tough for the South African skipper.
Absolute best in the world. We haven't really got to see that so far this tour. So she says her game's really well suited to test matches and hopefully we get to see a bit of that.
Hopefully for South Africa's, for their benefit as well as the fans. I think the Aussie fans would also love the chance to see Laura in full flight. But alongside the announcement of the Australian test squad the other day, there was also another very exciting announcement that the Aussie High Performance team have set up a Green v Gold match, which is a three-day Red Bull match to be played in March between some of Australia's best and brightest domestic talent, which is pretty exciting going forward.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Obviously, there won't be any of the Aussies who are off at the WPL there, but there will still be a few Aussies like, I think, Kim Garth and Alana King and Darcy Brown, and we'll all be part of that.
Yeah.
As well as some really exciting youngsters. I think Millie Illingworth's going to be part of that.
How good.
The team's going to be captained by Charlie Knott and Heather Graham. And, yeah, I think adding, like, it's, you know, a very small step towards adding more Red Bull cricket into the calendar for the domestic level, but they're going to try and do this with A tours from now on too.
I mean, it's great. I mean, it means that, say, for example, when Charlie Knott happens to one day debut for Australia in an Ashes test, she's not playing her first ever Red Bull cricket for Australia. She's had a bit of experience before, so.
Exactly, and players might identify themselves as being particularly suited to the format. They might tear this up and, you know, we might see a few more players come in that actually start being test specialists.
Red Bull specialists, which would be pretty exciting.
I think the only one I can think of right now is England's Emma Lamb, who seems to come in and open the batting whenever they play a test and can't get a gig in the white ball formats, but there's not too many other test specialists. So it'd be good for them to, I think just good for selectors to know who, particularly with the ball, who really happens to be able to make that talk.
And we've also got an under-19s tour coming up to Sri Lanka, which is another very exciting development. It's all happening in the pathway system, which is cool. We love to see the young guns getting a go. We've got some familiar names in the under-19 squad, but there's also some new names.
Yeah, that's going to be a really cool tri-series over there with T20s and ODIs with Sri Lanka and England. It's going to be a really important part of their preparation for next year's Under-19 World Cup, which is going to be played in Malaysia in January. Obviously, the Aussie Under-19 boys won this week, so I'm sure the girls would want to match that next year and win their first title. It's really cool to see Amy Smith coming back in after she's missing the back end of the WNCL season with a neck injury. By all accounts, Kristen Beams, who's going to be coaching that team, reckons she's going to be fit and ready to go for Sri Lanka, which is awesome. And there's a few other familiar names, aren't there?
Yeah, we've got a few familiar names that fans of the WBBL might be familiar with. So Kate Pelly, who famously got called up to the Sixers wicket-keeping position last year, she's in the squad, alongside Amy Smith as well, who will be known to Hurricanes fans. Maggie Clark, who I think think she's only, what, 16 or 17, dominated the last under-19 World Cup, which is cool. So she's back in there. A few other familiar names, Lucy Hamilton, who's been in and around the Brisbane Heat.
And a couple of brand-new names in there as well, including a really interesting potential story that we want to look into more with Ines McKeon from Western Australia, who we believe has played 16 T20s for France, and she's only 16 years old. So
wild.
Obviously lives here and made her debut for Western Australia earlier or last month. And now called up for Australia's under-19s.
Let's do some digging into that one. Sounds like an interesting story. So plenty on the horizon for fans of Aussie women's cricket to get around. But first and foremost, of course, it's the test match, which starts on Thursday over here in Perth. An 11 a.m. start over here in Perth, which is 2 p.m. for all you fans on the eastern states. You can tune in live and free on Channel 7 and, of course, on Foxtel and KO as well, and keep up with all the latest news, scores, highlights on the Cricket Australia Live app and, of course, across all our social platforms. But for now, enjoy listening to Sophie Molyneux. Sophie Molyneux, great to see you. Thank you for joining us today on The Scoop. Firstly, congratulations on the test call-up. Very exciting. First of all, we want to hear all about the phone call from Flegg. So start to finish, tell us where you were when you got the phone call.
I was at the Junction Oval Gym. It was a Monday morning. It was raining in Melbourne, shock. Didn't have my phone on me, so I missed that call and then called him back. And he just, said that they'd like to bring me over to Perth to be a part of the test squad. And, I sort of immediately, I don't know what come about me, but I just got a little bit teary and Flegs, there was a bit of silence there and Flegs was like, you're there? And I said, yep, sorry. Sounds awesome. Yep, sounds good. sort of just had a quick chat to him and then got off the phone and then spoke to Mum. And Tay was in the gym as well, so I was able to give Tay a big sweaty hug.
So good. She pumped?
She was pumped. She got off her bike. She was doing a bike session and jumped straight off and we had a nice moment.
It's awesome. And was this call up like anywhere on your radar at all?
No, it wasn't. I think like that Governor General's game that I played in, I absolutely love that. That was a really cool squad.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Of young girls, and I think this time around I was just excited to get back to playing any cricket in any colours. And of course I've sort of always hoped that I'd come back into this Australian squad at some point, but probably didn't think it'd be this soon. And I was loving my time in Victoria too, so it was all just a good time.
So obviously you had to dig your baggy green out. How exciting was that? And where do you keep it? And was it easy to find it?
I sort of had a few days to gather my stuff. Moving house at the same time.
Oh, so chaos.
It's been a little bit of, it's been hectic the last few days. But I initially thought that it was in Bensdale because the last time.
That would have been tricky.
The last time I saw it, it was in the study sitting in the sun aging as if I'd played 100 tests. So I had to move that. But I don't know how it ended up in a drawer at home. So, yep. The white pads were an issue. They were in Bensdale.
Okay.
Luckily my auntie was doing a quick trip up.
So good. That's loyal.
Well, she was coming anyway. So worked out well.
Yeah.
Very handy. And have you had a minute to sort of reflect on what it means to be back here after everything you've been through over the last couple of years?
I suppose, getting a call up like that, probably makes me stop and think a little bit about the last couple of years, and probably more so the people that have been fully involved and that have ridden those waves with me. Like I think of mum and dad, my sister and some close friends, some teammates that are here. And then also like the staff at Cricket Victoria and the players there, who I'd spent a lot of time with, and through the good, bad and ugly as well. I've probably been more so thinking about all the people that have really helped along the way.
Were those like how was it telling all those people that have helped you so much? Were they stoked?
Yeah, they were. They were. Which makes it special.
And you said before, like first day of school, tell us about how you felt this morning ahead of the first training session and what it's been like reuniting with the girls.
Well, initially when I got the call up, I sort of was just like over the top excited.
Yeah.
And probably didn't think too much about coming in, and it's a very different setup now to where I was when I was here 3 years ago. And it sort of hit me when I flew in yesterday. And I got a bit nervous. I'm like, oh, this is a fresh start, which is also a really cool thing as well. I think having that time out of the squad, a lot's changed in 3 years. Yeah. In terms of the environment here and also me as a person as well. I think 3 years of growth, that's a lot as well. So, I did feel – I was very nervous this morning, but the girls were great. They were very, very casual, and the vibe's high, which is cool to jump into.
Just liking the environment?
I think the obvious thing is the personnel. The personnel. I probably haven't been here long enough to see the little things, but you can just tell even just watching on and chatting to a few of the girls that come back from tour, and there's just different things, and I suppose where the team's at, they're wanting to expand and keep pushing the boat out, which has been really cool to watch as well. So I suppose to be a part of it next week or so, it'd be cool to sort of pick up on those little things as well.
Straight into it today with the red ball. Bit of a different format to come back into, I guess, straight away. And how did you find the training session today?
Yeah, I love the training session.
did you?
Yeah, I did.
You love training?
I love training. Okay. I love training. No, I love it. I could have been there for another 3 hours. The red ball, that's cool. Like I sort of grew up playing men's cricket.
Yeah.
Red ball, whites. 3 games a weekend. Would come home and mum would have to scrub the red ball marks out because I'd be the shiner. And even today when I'm a spinner now, but like I'm still shining the ball on my on my pants. Just I don't know what it is about a red ball, but I loved it. It was cool.
Mike Hussey down at training. Did you get a chance to chat to him?
Yeah, I had a quick chat to him. That was really cool. He was obviously like really engaged and. He had some good chats to a lot of the batters. Yeah. Obviously, he's like super experienced here at the Wacker, and he's Mr. Cricket, so he's probably the man to go to to chat cricket. So, he was really lovely, and I think we're all pretty grateful for his time.
You mentioned that you've grown a lot as a person over the 3 years you've been away. How do you think you've developed, and how's your mindset changed in that time?
3 years older, I feel like there's more wrinkle lines. And
how old are you now?
I'm 26.
So young.
I'm sort of not feeling young anymore, but I don't know. I feel like through injury there's opportunity, and I sort of had opportunity throughout the last couple of years to firstly stay in the one spot for an extended period of time. And
Is that Melbourne?
Yeah. And I suppose like my immediate support network were my teammates, and a lot of them played for Australia, so they were off touring a lot. So, I think, like, as you said, the mind part of it in a long-term rehab, that's always going to get challenged. And, I just sort of keep coming back to the people that I was really lucky to have and still am really lucky to have around me. And, I feel like there was trips to America, and there was stuff like that that were really fun, and got to see parts of the world. But I think when push comes to shove, the people that I was surrounded with probably was able to take time and appreciate that.
Did you like sort of explore anything like outside of cricket to like sort of keep you busy, or was there anything other than rehab that you kind of worked on over the time?
I sort of dabbled in bits and pieces. I suppose 12 months you go through waves of motivation, you go through waves of, you're probably just a bit flat or, different things popped up. I ended up, I don't know how, but I ended up on a farm just out of Melbourne on a Tuesday morning, picking veggies with some the elderly. Like, it was just awesome. It was pretty random, and it was really cold, but just little stuff like picked up the study again, something that I'd made redundant over the last 6 years, so just little things like that were really cool. But I also really enjoyed the training part of it as well. I always sort of have, and there was some parts that were probably a bit tedious, but the other parts, and I had a incredible stint with our physio, Brendan Goonan, and Richard Johnson S&C, who always kept things interesting, and it was really engaging as well. So that was a cool process to be a part of.
No ballet or anything for you,
I didn't get the ballet gig. I'm not really light on my feet either, so that's probably not going to work for me.
So you mentioned like your Victorian teammates, and I guess taking on the captaincy as well, that probably would have been another thing as well that like really kept you going and kept you coming back. And what's it been like being around those girls?
They're a really special group. And I think, spending those 2 years back in Victoria, I wouldn't change a thing, because being able to be fully involved in that program, and it's a young group of girls, and you can see, I think it's really rewarding, because you can see big improvements and big changes, and they're all so willing to learn now. And, it's been a really incredible sort of couple of years for us, it's one thing that like I wouldn't change. Like, I've absolutely loved that time with them, and we'll continue to do that.
How are the youngins going?
They're going really well. They're going really well. It's nice that we sort of turned our season around towards the back end. I just think like the girls are starting to learn how to win, and starting to have that belief. And I think, like, you get young girls come in, and they're all coming in together at the one point. So we've got a really young team, especially when you take away a few Australian players. They're out there on their own sort of thing, and for them to have that belief now, like, that's really cool, and it's been so good to see.
Have you found the captaincy side of things? I know you haven't been on the field for a lot of it, but how's that been?
It was tricky. Tricky when we were playing early, and watching the Renegades that season. Just not having that same ability to connect and to make a change, positive or negative. I think it's sort of been, it was good during the winter at Victoria. We did a lot of stuff, like off-field work, and probably just working out what it means to play for Victoria, and that was a cool process. And it's something that will always evolve as well, but little things like that, I think, with an engaged group as well. That was really fun.
And having Meg around a little bit more must be cool.
She's brought in obviously so much knowledge and experience, but also, like, she's really enjoying her time there as well. Cool. And I think the girls feed off that, and it's really cool that she's being able to come back and perform firstly, yeah. And then secondly, she's adding so much to the team, which is really cool.
Last one for you, Soph. Now you're a country music fan. Thoughts on Beyonce's potential country album? Have you got wind of that one?
Absolutely love it.
Yes.
I have not stopped listening to that song.
Which one? The Texas one?
Texas one, yeah. Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
So
like,
I can't stop listening to the other one, 16 Carriages.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't heard that.
It's really good. But they, like I was saying to LJ before, she hasn't put it on Spotify, which is really annoying.
Right.
So I have to keep listening on YouTube.
Yeah.
And okay. I haven't listened to Edie yet, so I need to get on this.
Okay. Yeah. Iconic album.
She's got another one that's come out. The girls are smashing it today.
Oh, really?
Daddy Issues, I think it's called.
Oh, that's the one with the Dixie Chicks.
Oh,
they
right.
did like a crossover. Oh my god, that's like literally my favorite song.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I
always listen to that.
It's not like it's obviously not full on country.
No,
but
I'm gonna send you.
It's Queen Bee. She can do whatever she wants.
On that note, Sophie Molyneux, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the week. Great to have you back around the group, and hope it all goes well.
Thank you.
Nice one, Soph.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nice one, Soph.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.